Game day on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. And remember, you can get to Real Kipper and Bourne at any time you like. If you can't catch us live, wherever you get your pod.
Yep.
In Texas, if you want, 590, 590. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Derek Brandeo, David Sisboom-Baugh. And in for Sammy McKee, Disco Dan Franceschi.
The organized, the all-knowing, the very helpful Disco Dan. How are you, Yele?
Oh, guys, I am doing well. It's great to be back.
Good to
been
have
a
you.
While. It's great to be back.
So when did we have you on last? Because that, by all my estimations on you on Twitter, changed your life.
That's right.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that. It was a great experience. I think that was in the middle of January. Middle of January at some point. Yeah.
So since then, what's life been like? Because you made your national debut.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what, commercials?
No. I wish
personal
I had
personal appearances.
Kipper, I wish I had the Mercedes one like you. That's a pretty sweet gig. I gotta say, it's a pretty sweet deal you got going on there. No, nothing's changed. I still show up for work like normal. I maybe gained 10 Twitter followers, which is fantastic.
Okay.
Nice.
And I'm happy. That's great. That's all. We're good. And it's been, yeah, it was very cool, obviously, at the time. Pretty surreal. Fun to be back with you guys. And the Disco Dan moniker just took off.
All right. Well,
took off.
Baby steps to the Mercedes. That's coming. It's coming next.
So Disco, obviously another welcomed opportunity because I hate to say it, but our Sammy faked an illness to watch the first round of the Masters.
It didn't even occur to me that it's the first day of Masters.
Oh, written all over it.
Wow, what
I
a
saw
read.
This. I saw this more than, like, people saw the eclipse coming.
Bet365 had this at minus 150, I think.
He was not showing up for work.
He even set the stage, didn't he?
He did. You know what he did? He did this one yesterday.
Here's where I think it's genuine. He will never pass up an opportunity to go play golf, and he had that yesterday,
yeah.
And he didn't go golfing.
I think
it's somewhat genuine. I really do.
No. You can't go golfing and then not show up for work the next day.
Well, or he just bailed on one group and went with a group that agreed to keep it quiet. I don't know.
Mm. Lame.
But it is. We should have come in with the tinkly music today. We should have some azaleas. We should be whisperish, be hushed tones today for the Masters. Nick Kiprios with his lineup, trying to find his pen for the 13th time.
I'm good now.
Okay.
It's a little different. Listen, I told you this. I'm not used to having an itinerary so organized.
There's a lot of information.
It's a ton of information. And, you know, Sammy's lineup's gotten a little better, but it ain't this. It's not.
Listen, I know you don't have to tell me, okay? But we miss him, Sammy. Hope you feel better,
He'll
pal.
He'll be back. He'll be back soon. Yeah. All right, game day here. We're inching ever so closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs, but there's still four on the table for the Toronto Maple Leafs, including one tonight against the New Jersey Devils.
Yep, going to have some lineup changes, sounds like. Particularly on the back end, Ilya Lyubushkin going to draw back in. Joel Edmondson, been out for 8 games, had blocked a shot. His foot was hurting him.
Yeah.
He'll be back as well. McCabe out, resting some injuries. And who else would be out there?
Lilligren's still sidelined.
Lilligren's still out.
And then up front, it was Dewar for Noah Gregor.
Other
change.
So starting to see some rest for some guys who aren't hurt but could just use a little bit of time.
All right, we'll pick up on that with our first Sheldon Keefe's Kipper's Clipper on the load management and what it means to sit McCabe out tonight.
I mean, case-by-case situation. We don't have it. At this point, I wouldn't say we have anybody in that same sort of situation. Like I said, Gabriel's, he's played a lot and done a lot for us this season. And quite honestly, I don't know that he's played many games at 100%. Like he's played through a lot of stuff. This season, nothing that's obviously held him back from playing, but he's played through a lot. So, give him in particular a chance to breathe. I think is good. I think the rest of our group right now is feeling good for those that are in the lineup.
You know, McCabe's interesting. He's missed 8 games, this season. He's missed 8 games. He's still pretty good numbers: 8 goals, 20 assists, plus 19, playing 21 minutes a night, thereabouts. He's been a big part of their back end.
And he's going to have to play a really big part in the playoffs here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that I like for sure. I'm just not sure where he truly lies in terms of, is he a legit top four defenseman?
I can't believe you still wonder if he's a top four defenseman.
Well, on the Toronto Maple Leafs, he is.
Okay.
I just don't know on a what we perceive as a Stanley mm-hmm. Cup contending blue line.
Yeah.
And, like, I just measure the Vegas
You're basically,
Knights.
You're putting okay, them look, up against Colorado, Vegas.
Exactly, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know Vegas is kind of struggling a little bit here, and, you know, we'll get into that later on in the show as they took a really bad loss against the Edmonton Oilers, and we'll get on that probably bigger picture in the next hour or so. But my point in all of this is if McCabe was on Vegas's blue line, which mm-hmm. we know is a Stanley Cup blue line.
Yeah.
Where would he look? Where would he, can he be a top four on that blue line?
You know, so maybe, you know, they're about, to me, it's like Vegas is the best decor that we've seen win a cup recently, right? It was Petrangelo, Theodore, Hag and Whitecloud were the third pair. Forget who I'm missing.
Hag, did you mention Hag?
I did. McNabb.
McNabb.
You know, like they were really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, McCabe to me is no doubt about it is a good second pair guy. You know, the Leafs aren't going to have the best D in the league.
I know. We know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it may be their Achilles heel when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And Matthews still is Matthews.
Yep.
And Samsonov's pretty good still.
Yeah.
It may come to that blue line where we go ultimately they weren't deep enough or they were missing like a legit 2-3.
Yeah, I think the question you're posing, which is a good one, is he what they want him to be or need him to be? You know, like he's definitely a second pair guy. He's definitely going to play shutdown minutes. Yes, he's definitely going to be the guy out there against the best lines. Is he going to excel in those minutes? He has at times this year, but it's definitely a question mark. He's not. Yeah, he's not one of the elite.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe on Edmondson coming back into the lineup and also Connor Dewar.
Yeah, it's great to see him back for sure, especially for a guy that's still new to our team. You know, to have him missing time, you know, it's tough. So, to get him back in the mix is good. He's been managing this well, and he's been back on skates for a while, but just giving him time to, you know, be certain that things are good. It'd be nice to get him back in and, you know, get him those reps that he needs and that we need to have with him. And I guess the other lineup changes do are going back in that same sort of situation, just continuing to give him the reps here as a guy that's new to our group.
Edmondson had a comment today. He said, it's never fun to watch hockey. If it was playoffs, I would have played right through it. It wasn't that big of an injury. We just want to make sure it was 100% before getting back. Yeah. 8 games, a lot to miss for a help a thing get better that
depending
you can play
depending on
through,
who
isn't
you it? Talk to, a deep bruise or a slight crack
or something. Yeah.
You know, can you play with a hairline fracture?
Yeah.
Right? That sort of thing.
Yeah, okay. You don't want to. You don't need to.
You don't want to.
Yeah.
Is it 70%? Is it 65%?
I hope it's a bone bruise. That would be better than a hairline fracture.
Those things, they can heal, though.
Yeah.
Right? They can, and I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
If it was, then
he should be fine.
2-3 weeks is a big difference.
Yeah.
He's been skating for 2 weeks. It was interesting to me just because he is a guy that it's a small sample of him in that lineup and you want to kind of figure out where he slots in best.
Yeah.
Right. And that even maybe goes hand in hand with like Jake McCabe. Like who's he going to play with?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you assemble your top four on the blue line to ensure you feel comfortable about that group going in? So, yeah, missing 8 games is a big deal. And he said, even adding to your comment there, Borny, reading the quote,
mm-hmm.
talked about how he's been skating for 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
Like, he felt good and felt ready to go. And today,
very cautious.
Before even Keith was like, yeah, he's going to be back in, he declared himself healthy and ready to play.
Yeah.
He was ready to go and eager to get back in there.
How do you like Riley Labushkin, Edmondson, Brody?
I see Riley Labushkin as your pair,
mm-hmm.
first pair. Anything Morgan's on has to be your first pair.
Yeah.
So that's your first pair game one.
Benoit McCabe, Edmondson, Brody. Tough to look at. I know you did Liljegren. I know you like
Liljegren. Where is Liljegren? We expect him to play two games, just one? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you?
It's tough.
Now you're into that territory of, I'm not sure there's going to be enough to lock in Liljegren in game one.
It's like, I know even if you want him in, if he hasn't been playing, it's really tough to say, okay, go defend Bennett and Tkachuk and
that,
whoever else.
That includes that we think TJ Brody is now coming back, right?
The last two games have been good.
Been okay for me.
Yeah. Is okay good enough?
That's right.
So is it?
Is okay to... Better, good enough for you to pick him over Liljegren? And how important is it that you need a second right-handed shot in your lineup? Like right now, you're going in tonight, you got one right-handed shot in Lyubushkin, and he's Lyubushkin.
He sure is.
The best I can describe him.
He's Lyubushkin.
Right?
Speaking of the blue line, I guess the one question I have there is then, well, I think everybody would naturally point and say it's Benoit that is really the bubble guy, and that... Yeah. If Liljegren's in, he's the one coming out. Brody's probably done himself some favors with how he's played recently, but I kind of feel like it's actually closer than what it might appear.
Kip's been beating that drum.
How can you take... I find it difficult. How can you take a guy like Benoit out? Like, what he gives you, what he provides.
Yeah.
There's something about the way he plays.
I think we're past that now.
He's in.
Like, there's something about the way he plays that strikes me as a guy for whatever reason. We always look year over year. Yeah. That third pairing deemed on a really good playoff team. And you say, oh, that guy? And sure enough, he's productive. And
20 minutes and 14 seconds per game this month. So they're playing them. They're playing. They trust,
So I don't know where they stand on feeling like Liljegren as a right-handed shot still gives you more flexibility on the back end. Right? That's important, too.
It is. So one thing I think we should talk about, because it's the talk everywhere I go about the Leafs, is Matthews and 70, which I know it's, you know, you and I maybe are less inspired by that than I think fans of the team think it's a huge deal. It's a, you know, going for this chase. I wrote an article yesterday on should he rest or should they let him pursue 70? Yeah. I want to get your thoughts on that. We do have a Keith clip on it as well. You can decide if you want to go first or Sheldon goes first. But
Let's go to Sheldon.
Okay.
We'll go to Sheldon and then we'll pick it up because I also wrote an article today for the Toronto Star.
God, a couple of authors.
Yeah, a couple of authors going at it. and I had my thoughts on Matthews and the best season by far in his career so far. So let's go to Sheldon first.
Clip four.
Am I concerned about it? Not necessarily. I think the guys have done a good job of it. You know, it's been good. Like, I look at the goals that that group has scored and that Austin scored. The process has been good. The guys haven't cheated the game. They haven't forced anything, you know, any of that sort of stuff. I know it got lots of play on whether Austin should have been on the ice with the goalie out and such. And he was going to be out. He's the next man up. He's not going to be out there 4-on-6. It's not a situation that he plays in, and that, to me, is forcing it. To me, the guys are just going out there and playing. That's the best way. If you want to add to your goal total, just go out and play. Those are good players, and they've been dominating play. Just go out and go about it the right way. But it's pretty remarkable already what Austin's accomplished here, right? The number continues to grow, but, nobody in the league has gotten to this number, and that in itself is pretty terrific to watch. So, Austin's feeling really good right now. He's got lots of energy. He's playing with he's playing with a free mind, and you can see it out there. So we'll just, keep going about it. And within our team process, he's a big part of it, and he's going to score goals through that.
It's kind of what I've been preaching all along here, is that it's just the look of the record right now. And I think it looks absolutely perfect in terms of what it should look like. And they're not chasing it. He's not chasing it. The team's not chasing it. I was so happy that it was an obvious look that there's an empty net, and I want this guy to go out and stuff one in there.
Plan.
Good on Sheldon Keefe to go, no, that the rotation's the rotation. He wasn't next man up, and I'm not giving him a freebie and throwing anything else off.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to your question on what's right or what's wrong, there's no definitive answer.
Yeah.
I know a week from now, if he gets hurt, they're going to take it from every which way.
Oh yeah.
But that goes with anybody.
Yeah.
There's no hindsight here.
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you take it upon yourself as a coach or general manager, and do you go in now and tell Austin
you're not playing?
You're not playing?
So I have weighed this carefully, I think, in my mind about what's best for him and the team. I think there's a couple of questions that are important to answer first. Do you think that the rest gained by not playing will make a material difference in his performance in that first series? Like, will sitting out, let's say he misses the last two games of the year against Florida and Tampa Bay, is the gain tangible? Will he actually be 1% better if he doesn't play those games? I think probably 1% is reasonable. Like, you know, somewhat better, right? It's tough to say, right? We don't have an answer to that.
You're, at the end of the day, you are guesstimating.
Exactly. Well, that's generous. I think I'm just guessing.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know. And so all the sports science doctors and whatever, not doctors, but sort the people who make these calls will say the rest will help him. Playoffs are a long run. The rest is good for him. Let's just assume they're right. Let's take that at face value that the rest will help him in playoffs. Then I think if he only has 67 goals or 68 goals with two games to go, and the rest will help him in playoffs, I think you have to prioritize the team. This is a team that will come to be defined by putting personal above team based on contracts and now something like this if they don't win. And so even if they don't win the cup this year, it reflects better on the player to sit out and rest and try to maximize his performance in playoffs over chasing this goal. So I get why they might rest him. I actually think it probably makes more sense to rest him. Everyone I've talked to disagrees and says, boo that and chase the record and 70's awesome. But what are we doing here? What is the priority? And to me, unless he has 69 goals,
it's a statement. You're either in or out. Not. You got to make that same decision whether he's got 67 or 68.
No.
69 changes that?
It does.
Now you're not prioritizing the team first based on what you just told me.
Well, now I think he is. Well, here's the thing. If you go in with 67, even if you're not even likely to get the record if you play. 68.
Have you watched this guy lately? He can score three in a period.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you're going to.
But he could.
But if he has 69 and he's going to get the record almost certainly, then I think it changes the math a little bit about whether you do it or not. You hate to play him. God, Kip, he's got 68 goals. You play him and he gets hurt or even tweaks something.
Yeah, like I told you.
The Leafs are getting buried.
Yeah, the Leafs will get buried for sure.
And I'm burying you for not saying that he should have sat out.
Yeah, but he can get hurt in practice. Like, it's...
Could.
I don't know. He could.
He could. But I'm more likely to get hurt climbing Everest than sleeping.
100%. I get that. I'm with you, though, Borny. I do agree. I think you have to prioritize team over individual. I firmly believe that because at the end of the day, as you put it, they're going to be judged based on what happens 2 weeks from now and beyond, potentially, not what happens come next, what is it, Wednesday? Mm-hmm. They finish the regular season, and whatever that goal total is.
He hits 70, and they lose in the first round.
Our conversation is not any different. It's not going to change. It's going to be a repeat, rinse and repeat of what we've talked about for years now when it comes to the playoff failures and the shortcomings. God forbid he goes out and he has a bad first round. We're not going to look at the 70 and say, well, but he scored 70. No, you're going to say, well, he went five games and scored one goal.
Yes.
That's what counts. So it will all be forgotten very quickly, regardless. It'll be a passing conversation, and then it'll be gone. I'm with you. Like I've always been in that camp the whole way through.
What did you
rest him?
What did you think of Edmonton not trusting Connor against Vegas last night?
Well, Connor's hurt. But do you
buy that?
No, I don't. But
they're saving
one more
they're
for 100.
But he's not.
He's chasing an MVP. He's chasing an Art Ross title.
Yeah.
They didn't play him last night.
It's a good point. I mean, I think some people would say that 70 is different. They may, than whatever Connor's chasing, and a Hart Trophy, which he already has. You know, Matthews has never hit 70. But I get your point that they're probably resting their best player for the first round. So I think this is a minority opinion that I think you should rest Matthews unless he has like 69. He can take it out of our hands tonight. It's the Devils.
Yeah.
No offense to the Devils, but he scored 16 times in 17 games. Yeah, he has 16 goals in 17 games against the Devils. He usually scores, and he probably will tonight. How about this, though? If he has no goals tonight and doesn't score against Detroit on whatever that is, Saturday, then you definitely rest him, right? 66 goals, two games left. You definitely rest him there.
I think if you're Keefe, you probably just want him one way or the other to take the decision out of your hands. Go out there tonight, Saturday, score two goals, give me a couple, get there, say, okay, we can. And even if you want to play the card of, well, there are still stakes because like home ice is still technically available to them, I don't think it matters, but he's probably sitting there being like, gosh, please do something so that I don't have to get the questions about you sitting at 68 or 69, and is he going to play or is he going to sit?
It's going to be, it's coming to a head.
All right, let's pick up on that topic with Sheldon Keefe, clip four on the concerns.
Oh, did we do that already?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, all good.
All right, one last thing on this. Like, for me still, my first priority would actually be giving Tavares a night off here. This is a key guy here. He's going to play second hole to Matthews at the center ice position. This is the guy I got to make sure has legs. Much more concerned on Tavares playing every other night, heavy minutes against a Florida Panthers team and providing offense and still providing that responsibility defensively. Like, If they shut down Austin here, if Barkov has some success, where's it left after behind him? That Tavares to me is an important guy to shut down here.
Yeah, you know, there's a case to be made that Austin might be better off playing games, staying in the rhythm, scoring goals. Tavares right now hasn't scored in five straight games, has a couple assists over that time. Yeah, maybe doesn't quite have the pop he had a couple weeks ago. I think that's a great point. You know, this is, and then so the question becomes then is how much do you prioritize this home ice advantage chase in terms of should you just rest all these guys, not worry about home, you're not getting caught by Tampa Bay at this point, you know, or should you just sit Tavares, sit Matthews, sit, I don't know if you want to get Mitch back in a rhythm a little bit more.
Mitch is well rested. Morgan is well rested.
Yeah.
No concerns really? There. There's times when Willie plays and he's well rested.
Willie, yeah. You get what you get.
Fine
you
with
don't
Willie.
Get upset with Willie.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're right. He plays.
So just the guys I think that that we mentioned. One guy that doesn't appear to need any rest is Max Domi. Let's get Sheldon's thoughts on where his importance may be down the stretch here.
Clip three. Or not.
I mean, he's always been a guy that has that ability to make plays, but I think just as he's progressed through the season and gotten more comfortable here and more comfortable with his line mates and obviously the way it's going now with Austin, it's been terrific to watch, but you know, we've used him a lot in the middle of the ice at center, and he's done really well for us there. He's got that ability. So it's ability, it's skill, and then it's confidence. He's a veteran in the league, and you know, he believes he can make a difference, and that confidence is something that shines through for me in any moment. This is a guy, he's a competitor that the opposition can bring whatever they want. His confidence doesn't get shaken by anything the opposition is doing. And you know, and I talked about this with Bert. I think it's those types of competitors and that mindset, I think, is you know, what was exciting about adding those guys in the offseason. And as this season is winding down and you're getting more prepared for playoffs, you're that much more excited because I think those are the types of guys that will shine when things get most difficult.
Foregone conclusion, Max Domi's beside Austin Matthews for game one?
I don't think foregone conclusion, but certainly trending in that direction. Right now, Bertuzzi has 13 points over his last 13 games, including 9 goals, all at even strength. Domi, 13 points over his last 15 games, plus 13 over that time. I mean, it certainly looks that way. Are you coming around to that at all?
Yeah, I am coming around a little bit.
Yeah.
I am. Bertuzzi's going well right now. If you were to bring in Marner on that line, which ultimately I think at some point we're
going to
see a push
you're
from the
going
Leafs.
To see
you're
going to
load up. You're going to have
They're
Matthews
behind
and Marner
in a game, and they'll be there
back there. But so far, Bertuzzi's feeling really good.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. And Willie will continue to be with Holmberg and maybe Robertson tonight. What's he? How many points does he have? Like, speaking of milestones here, what does he have to go to 100 still? He was
Willie
on pace
four.
For 128, 130 a month and a half ago, mm-hmm. 2 months ago. This guy was on pace for 125.
I think he has 2 points in his last 6 games.
He's one to watch tonight, Chase, maybe.
Yeah. So 4 games left. He needs 4 points. He's averaging 1.2 points per game or a little bit more. So you'd think he'd get it, but boy, he's been kind of stuck lately. We'll see.
Just need a couple on the power play here.
Yeah.
3 points in his last 9 games.
3 in 9. Okay.
3 in his last 9.
Wow.
1 goal during that span.
Real drop off for him. Maybe he does need a night off, Kip.
But does he really?
Yeah. No.
I'm with you, Kip. I when I watch him sometimes, I shake my head.
Yeah.
Just because of we all know. We all know, but you need him. You desperately need him.
These fans have come around to Willie. People ain't get mad at him anymore. He just is Willie now.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
I think there's still enough time for these lines to kind of feel each other out and gain more chemistry. But overall, I got a much better feel for this lineup going into the playoffs than I have in previous ones.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think I get a better vibe from 1 to 4 than I ever have in the last little while. And that includes, you know, those significant trades last year, Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't have a Ryan O'Reilly trade this year, but it feels like it was almost forced last year.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan O'Reilly's a great player. He's won the Conn Smythe. He's led a Stanley Cup team. Fit him in there and let's make some magic.
Totally.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't happen. And I get a feel like guys know where their roles are this time around.
Yeah.
Better? Does that make sense to you?
Totally. And you know what? This is the first year of the last 3 or so where the Leafs haven't looked to new players to say maybe they'll fix the problems. Like, the growth from this forward group has come internally. McMahon became went from a waiver guy to a contract guy. Benoit, same thing. Like, Holmberg, regular in the lineup now.
Yeah.
The growth is internal. There seems to be a hierarchy, which is something you've preached to me over the last couple of years.
Yes.
You know, where do guys fit in, and are they okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I would say we are mutually optimistic about this Leafs team right now, which...
When though, and you know, whether it's Ryan Reeves in or out, and he won't play tonight. Connor Dewar's in with Kampf and Nyes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether they're playing 8 or 9 minutes, they look.
Nyes is coming.
They look like they're playing 12 or 14 minutes
because
when they're out there, there's significant forechecks. There's significant cycles.
There's positive place.
There's significant place to the net.
Yeah.
And there's a sense now that fourth line is key now for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Which is crazy considering, you know, years past looking at, okay, it's going to be Spezza and Achari and, you know, like trying to piece it together. So, yeah. Hey, man. That was a lot of positive Leaf stuff.
That right there, what Kipper said about the fourth line, it harkens back to, I mean, 2-3 years ago, years of them playing Tampa. And it always felt like the fourth line was on the ice. That Perry, Nick Paul, those guys, it always felt like
Maroon, Belmar. It's like, did they play 28 minutes? It's like,
and then you look and they're
minutes.
Like, yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
But they made an impact. They put they had their fingerprints all over the game at all times. And I think, that fourth line, this Leafs fourth line, has sort of showed a little bit of that as of late.
For sure.
Is our Sammy McKee, who's home covering the Masters for us today,
yeah.
Tweeted anything on Tiger, his start?
I should check out Sam's Twitter account to see how active he is today. I'll keep you abreast of that after the break. How about that?
Can I also mention that you got me in this pool?
Yes.
Right? And it's a good pool.
Good pool. With shout out Brandon Miller.
271 entries.
Yeah. Wow.
And just prior to the show, I looked and I was in 271st place. I'm not last.
Xander Schauffele is not helping either of us. I have Schauffele too, so.
And I was so upset, I didn't even look where you are.
Yeah, probably T271, pal. That's not possible. But anyway.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Joshua Cloke, Maple Leaf writer for The Athletic, will join us. We've had him on a couple times. Solid writer.
Very good.
Stay tuned. More Real Kipper and Bourne after the break.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Disco Dan. Talking Leafs. We go to Joshua Cloke, Maple Leaf writer with The Athletic.
Tell us about Tiger Woods.
Is he ready?
One under through one.
He's on the on-deck circle, apparently.
He's on pace to shoot 72 below. And under? 72 under.
It's not does he make the cut?
Yes. Has he's literally never missed it, right? He's made the Masters cut every year of his career. He ain't missing now, pal.
When was the last time he was in last year?
Yeah.
And he made the cut last year?
He did.
Yeah.
He just didn't play the weekend.
He hurt, right?
He withdrew in the third round.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I remember.
It's can he play 72 holes of golf is a tougher question than will he play well enough?
We gotta do a show from there. Think they'd let us do our show from there, from Augusta?
Real Kipper and Bourne.
Yes.
From Amen Corner?
Yes.
Sounds amazing.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right, as promised, Joshua Cloke joins us now. Josh, what's going on?
Somewhere in Burlington on a GO train heading eastbound, kind of wondering what the point of these last three or four days in the regular season is. That's kind of where I'm at.
Really?
Staring out the window. Yeah, existential crisis over here.
Oh, listen, it's, you know, once upon a time, you know, the last 5 or 10 games of the NHL season included, like, legitimate playoff races. Now it's load management, right? How exciting is that, talking about load management?
It's probably not very exciting if you're Austin Matthews. Right. Like, I'm sure that conversation is going to happen. It's probably going to happen like awkwardly over the next few days. But it's tricky, right? Like, the Leafs are still fighting for like home ice advantage. And there's some fans that I'm sure would rather they start on the road, given their road playoff record under Sheldon Keefe. But it is going to be tricky. I'm thinking about that conversation and how like Austin Matthews is essentially going to say, no, I want 70 goals. I want to play. And then if you're Sheldon Keefe, like, what are you really supposed to say if the best player in franchise history says, I want to play, and you're kind of thinking, oh, but we want you to play better in the playoffs.
You like, say tough beans.
I don't know. Like, what do you, like, you know, Keefe, what, how does that conversation go?
Do you think if, and it's funny because we do talk about load management here, but it's with Jake McCabe tonight. That's the conversation. But really, should we be focused on Matthews, Marner, Tavares, or Nylander here? And if you're gonna pick one, does it need to be Matthews first or last? Or like, where's Tavares in all of this for making sure that he has fresh legs for game one?
Yeah, great question. So if we're doing a power rankings of these like four players and who should get load management, number one on who should not get load management right now is William Nylander. Like, you got to get him going. You got to get him producing. And maybe the key to that is getting him, you know, more ice time or on the, like, the second line. I think he's kind of even though I like the idea of balancing out, you know, your scorers and having three lines that can score, it does kind of feel like he's in no man's land right now. So I think you probably don't rest him at all. And the same goes for Mitch Marner, right? Coming off injury, you want him playing. Tavares is an interesting one because I do like the idea of him becoming this kind of shutdown center or this matchup center. But he's also the oldest, so you think he'd need some rest. And then you land on Matthews. So I don't know. I guess where I'm at is, like, don't rest William Nylander or Mitch Marner. You need William Nylander. He's been, like, just on average, he's been their best forward in the playoffs over these last few years. You need him going as best as he can. So I don't see him resting at all. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't think Mitch will rest. What do you got, Kip?
Oh, I'm just worried that you missed your stop. You okay?
Listen, I'm going to stay on as long as I have to with you guys. I'll go to Oshawa.
Love hearing that, Josh.
Appreciate it. The one that has me curious is, and you can clarify this, it seems like they have all but named Samsonov the game one starter.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the plan is here? Three starts in a row, like, you're going to want Joe Wold to play. Is Martin Jones going to start? What do you think the goaltending rotation looks like down the stretch here?
I think you probably see Joseph Wall on Saturday. And again, I'm sorry to undersell this, but in a meaningless game. And then you probably see Samsonov against Florida on Tuesday in a bit of a playoff kind of preview. And then you see Joe Wall on Wednesday. So you get Samsonov a little bit of rest there. But you want Ilya Samsonov continuing to roll with this kind of mental strength that he seems to develop. Like, I really like everything about his game and his attitude right now. You know, he was the team's Masterton nominee, and he didn't want to talk about November and December at all when he was asked about, you know, the kind of hurdles he overcame. He didn't want to talk about that at all. He only wanted to focus on the future. We're seeing, a hardened Ilya Samsonov, and I think that's good. But no, like, he's the starter game one, no doubt. Does that rule out Joseph Wall in game three or four? Because as much as he is the starter, like, does anybody certainly feel like, you know, he's going to play all seven games? I don't think so. There's always this threat of injury looming, and there's always the threat of, you know, what happened in November and December kind of just looming. So he's the starter, no question. He'll get two of these next four games. I think Joseph Wall knows that too, right?
We're talking to Joshua Kloak, Maple Leaf writer for The Athletic. So I'm going to ask both of you guys this, but I want to get your comments on this. I'm really surprised that since Joseph Wall has been back, that this didn't turn into more of a, you know, split on who should start, because now it's almost as if, because Joseph Wall hasn't found his game since returning, and it's maybe a stretch to say he can do something that will convince us otherwise with just four games to go, there's a real sense that as far as the goaltending is concerned for the Toronto Maple Leafs to start the playoffs, man, all their eggs are in one Samsonov basket right now.
Go ahead, Josh.
I want to hear from you, but, like, you know what sticks out to me is how when Joseph Wall came back, Sheldon Keith gave him two starts back-to-back against Boston. Like, and that was tough. He let in four goals in each. Not all of them were on him, but that was a really tough start, like, in terms of coming back from injury. You know, that was just a tough hand to be dealt, and I like the idea. You know, you throw your potential starter into the fire and see what happens, but he's just never really gotten his game back on track after those two games in Boston. And, like, there's no question about his, like, mental capabilities to me. I just think that really put him behind the eight ball a little bit. I don't know, Borny, where are you at?
Well, you know, it's not like he hasn't played any good games. You know, he loses to Carolina with a .953 save percentage. He beats Washington with a .958. Like, he had a couple decent games. And then he's been an .840 and a .900 in a loss and a win since. He's not been terrible.
If I would have had money halfway through the season, I would have picked Joseph Woll to start in the playoffs.
Yeah. And I think that's how they saw it too, which is why it's kind of like, it's amazing how they pivoted fairly quickly to, okay, he's going to be the backup. You know, they definitely need to play him. Like, he very well may be an important piece of this yet. So I kind of think like maybe they go Sammy again Saturday, Joseph Woll on the 16th, and then Jones the last game. You know, give Samsonov almost a week between starts to get ready. But I don't know. It is going to be curious, and I think I don't want to say it's unfair, but once those Boston games happened, they just sort of put him in the back burner and said, you're not the guy anymore, which is weird because yeah. They put him in that spot.
You know what I think, too, is like, and this is there's maybe too much psychology involved in this one, but I always thought that it would be best to have Samsonov as your starter to give, like in game one, to give him that confidence, right? Because then you know if things go sideways, Joseph Woll is a really good backup option. But if you start with Joseph Woll,
yeah,
that's kind of tough on Samsonov. You've really backed him into a corner. He loses a lot of confidence that way, and then you don't know what you're getting if you have to turn to him in game three. That's the way I've always thought about how they're going to approach, you know, goaltending in the playoffs. I don't know if that one makes sense to you guys, but that's where I'm at with it.
Got to ask you, Joshua, about the blue line and, you know, all things being equal and everybody's healthy here. We can all safely say that we think Mark Giordano will be on the outside looking in, but who is beside him watching on the blue line in game one?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would think it's Connor Timmins, and I think Timothy Liljegren gets in, and you can hear the how hesitant my tone of voice is. Like, I think he gets in because the Leafs just need some offense from the blue line. They need some, and I just don't think Connor Timmins has really solidified himself as a really good PP option as well, right? Like, I think people want him to be the guy, but it just still feels like a development project there, and I think you need someone like Timothy Liljegren who can break through lines in the neutral zone and move the puck cleanly. Like, yeah, you're understanding that there's going to be some defensive miscues with that. But I think they have to find a way to get him in there because I don't think they've found another good power play option, obviously besides Morgan Riley. But so that's why I think Timmins is probably out. Timothy Liljegren is in. Hopefully he can get a few games in. And he's probably your bottom pairing guy. And I think they're going to really lean on him on PP too.
Do you have Benoit and Edmondson in?
I have Edmondson in and Benoit out, which I understand is sacrilege because, like, Simone Benoit has become a cult hero.
He likes milk.
In Toronto. He likes milk, which is strange to me as an adult to think about another adult drinking milk. But look, he brings a lot. And I think there is a future where he played in the playoffs next season. But they have on that blue line, if you look at that blue line right now, they have other Simone Benoit types. Mm-hmm. And I just think you need something a little bit different because they've really struggled all season. If you just look at like the season as a whole, they've struggled to create offense from the blue line. And I don't think you're getting it from Simone Benoit.
The Leafs would have to run into an absolute brick wall here to not finish second or third in their division. So they're getting Florida. I mean, I don't even think we've talked about it significantly enough on this show. Like, the draw is the Florida Panthers. How do you feel about how that shook out? It could have been Boston. It could have been the Rangers. It could have been a whole host of teams. How do you feel about it being the team that eliminated them last year?
I feel like, they were going to be underdogs no matter who they would play. I frankly feel a bit nervous because, like, I'm packing for the trip, the final regular season trip to Florida. And I'm like, am I going to end up staying here for, like, a week and a half?
Yeah.
But that's a conversation, a testy conversation that I'm going to have with my wife in a few days. we'll go through that later. But, look, I think you like the challenge, and I think you like if you're the Leafs being the underdogs. I mean, frankly, they've been better on the road in the playoffs under Sheldon Keefe. So you probably like starting it on the road. you know, I think it's very likely that the Leafs, if they do end up matching Florida, they just stay in Florida for those 2 days, you know, between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. That's good for the team, you know, team bonding and getting together and being away from, you know, all the extra cameras that show up come playoff time. I think that's good for the team. You were going to face a team that eliminated you in some way, no matter what. But I don't know. I think if you're the Leafs, you feel better about being the underdog. I mean, when was the last time they entered a playoff series as the underdog?
Gosh, Washington? I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good shift for them, right? I think you look at the new makeup of this team. You know, the Bertuzzis, the Domies, these guys that are starting to bring a little more of that, you know, P&V that this management group wanted them to bring. And you like going on, you know, into an away barn and you like kind of being the underdogs. I think it's going to be important for them. And I think it's going to be important to kind of lean into that mentality a little bit more.
Joshua, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. You never miss a stop on this show, that's for sure.
Oh, you've been sitting on that one for a few minutes. That's great.
Buddy, I'm this close to being a professional host.
I think you might be now.
Yeah. I'll wait until Union Station before making a call.
All right. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Cloak.
Joshua Cloak, Maple Leaf writer, yeah. The Athletic. So... yeah, we're gonna spend all next week. You know that.
Yeah, I guess that's why
Leafs
we haven't dug in.
Versus the Florida Panthers.
We should do like a pre-scout show where we go through it like I would a real team pre-scout.
So, like, Florida's limping in here.
Yeah, they've had a couple good games.
Right, had a good game against Ottawa. So
yeah, so count that.
Yeah,
I think sarcastic.
No, I'm not. I'm counting
Ottawa.
Anything right
they've
now.
They beat Ottawa. Two of their last three games by a combined score of 8-0. So that's what I mean by they're doing better.
Where do you have still home ice advantage for the Leafs up for grabs here?
So I don't 50-50? Have the stat exactly in front of me, but I feel like at home they're like 5-13, and on the road they're 8-5 or something like that. You got it, Yelly?
I got the last three seasons.
I knew you.
Okay. At home the last 3 years in the playoffs, 4-8-2. On the road, 7-1-2.
No, they're not.
Swear. 7-1-2 in the last three playoffs on the road.
You know,
that makes no sense.
But like, pressure is a very real thing, right? I mean, you know that better than anyone. And John Cooper, and I'm going to say this tonight on the broadcast with you sitting beside you on the desk, has taken great pains to paint the Leafs as the favorite in previous series. Oh, we'll be lucky to get games off them. The Leafs are the best. We're just, you know, everyone's picking them.
Listen.
Listen. To put the pressure on the Leafs, right? And at home, there's more pressure. But I do think it's overthinking it a bit to be like, we don't want home ice advantage. Like, they should be experienced enough to know what to expect from that pressure now, no?
I'm with you. It makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
And either you believe that you can win or you can't, and you don't care where it is.
100%. It's like, pressure at home, but you've been through the pressure. It's year 8 of these playoff runs. Handle it, baby.
All right. The march continues towards the Stanley Cup playoffs. First for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Devils tonight, 7 p.m., Sportsnet Ontario. JB and I will be on that panel with Elliot Friedman, who will join us in the next hour. Plenty to talk about league-wide, including those Coyotes.
How?
That's pretty good. Is it over? Oh, finally.
Mercy.
Uncle! That more when we continue on Real Kipper and Bourne.